16, Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And so we are rejoicing in Daniel's decision this morning. And I would invite our church members who would like to show their support and welcome for Danielle this morning, just say, give her a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, I can welcome all our visitors this morning. I know we have several visitors with us. And I met some folks from Texas. Y'all from Texas. We got the sitting right in front and back there of each other. Meet a fellow Texan. So yeah, we are not discriminatory here. We welcome Texans too. And let's see. Somebody from Ohio. There you are. Spent 5 years in Ohio. Fact is, she knows some folks that we know in Ohio. I've got the Vozar's phone number. He's now pastoring in that area. You knew that. My wife knows everything. And I'm always the last to know. Just want to bring to your attention as well that Christy's aunt, Sandra, who has worshipped with us in the past, and she's just visiting for a bit from Oregon now, she made the decision to be baptized while she was out in Oregon. So we're just praising the Lord for that. And we're just glad that you're part of God's forever family. Amen? So it's good to be here this morning. Maybe we could take a minute and just turn around, turn to somebody next to us, and just wish him a hearty Sabbath greeting. Thank you. You're going to need your Bibles this morning. We'll begin in Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And I'm going to be using several texts this morning, so if I get ahead of you, you just wave your hand and I'll slow down, all right? In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I would invite you to turn over to Luke's gospel. Beginning with chapter 1, verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." And the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service was ended, he went to his home. Drop over to verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted them to be called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God, and fear came on all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through all the hill country of Judea, and all who heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people, and the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. The birth of a son to Zacharias, like the birth of the child of Abraham and that of Mary, was to teach a great spiritual truth that we are slow to learn and too ready to forget. In ourselves, we are incapable of doing any good thing. But that which we cannot do will be wrought by the power of God in every submissive and believing soul. It was through faith that the child of promise was given. It is through faith that spiritual life begins, and we are enabled to do the works of righteousness. Desire of Ages 100 goes on to say that in order to fulfill his mission, John must have a sound physical constitution and mental and spiritual strength. Therefore, it would be necessary for him to control the appetites and passions. He must be able to so control all his powers that he could stand among men as unmoved by surrounding circumstances as the rocks and mountains of the wilderness. As a prophet, John was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In preparing the way for Christ's first advent, he was a representative of those who are to prepare a people for our Lord's second coming. The world is given to self-indulgence. Errors and fables abound. Satan's snares for destroying souls are multiplied. All who would perfect holiness in the fear of God must learn the lessons of temperance and self-control. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. 2,000 years have passed and the message has not changed. Now as then, the message is an urgent one. Now as then, the invitation is given to a stubborn and disobedient people. Repent. To change one's mind. To change life's direction. To be sorry for sin. Repentance, John said, was a necessary step to gain entrance to God's kingdom. Notice what John said in Matthew 3, 8 through 11. I should say what Matthew said, not what John said. Matthew 3, 8 through 11. As we begin John Baptist's message, repent for the kingdom of is at hand. And when he saw many of his Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." True repentance produces kingdom fruit. And that fruit is produced by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice also in Luke 1:15 that the angel of the Lord says that temperance, we've already looked at that text, the angel of the Lord says that temperance is a necessary prerequisite for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that out of Luke? Gabriel was talking to Elizabeth. Temperance is a necessary prerequisite for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. As we look at Jesus' visit with Nicodemus there in John chapter 3. So there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, and this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Jesus did not have kind words for Pharisees. Over there in Matthew 23, Jesus is saying, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Ouch. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside also may be clean." Verse 27. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones." I don't think I would have liked to have been a Pharisee right about then, would you? Pharisees were strict hypocrites in their tithe-paying and Sabbath-keeping. They look good on the outside, but Jesus is saying that inside they are unregenerate sinners. Jesus answered him, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus says, verse 9, "How can these things be? How can these things be?" As Jesus said to his disciple and over there in Matthew 19, verse 26, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You must be born again. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Beginning with verse 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It cannot. For those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, whoever, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." You must be born again. And Paul describes what the natural man looks like in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, beginning with verse 16. The natural man. "I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." Well, what did he just say here? What's going to keep me from doing the things that my flesh wants to do? The Spirit, right? "If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not" what? they will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to list the fruits of what? We've talked about those before, have we not? As Jesus said, you will recognize them by their fruits. Fruits of the flesh and fruits of the spirit. Back there in John, talking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, and this is the judgment, John 3:19, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. So what are wicked things? It's what you do, not what I do. Right? I mean, the stuff you do is really wicked. So what are wicked things? The wicked things are anything that the light discloses that are out of harmony with God's will and purpose for us. Amen? He, the Holy Spirit, will teach us what wicked things that we cherish in our lives. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of sin. Amen? It's not your job to convict somebody else of their sin. Amen? We need to let God do His job and mind our own business. And this is the judgment. The light has come and people love the darkness. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. Hates the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. His deeds have been carried out in God. It's not my deeds. They're His deeds carried out in the Spirit. Notice 1 John. 1 John 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we do what? We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with what? Fellowship with one another. So what's John telling us here? That if we have fellowship with God, with love, who is love, then we're going to have loving relationships with those He created. Is that a strange thought? If we walk in the light as He is in the light meaning the truth about God, is love. God is in the business of loving relationships. Amen? We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. The truth is not in us. And notice what John says in verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Fellowship or unity enabled by and guided by the Holy Spirit is Christ's vision for His church. You can find His vision spelled out in detail in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Christ's vision for his church, his people. His high priestly prayer before he went back to heaven. Notice verse 21. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be what? In us. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. What's Jesus saying here? If we can't get along any better than the people of the world, nobody's going to believe that this stuff about Jesus changing people is true. Right? Right? Unity with Christ, unity with the Father, and unity with God's children is Jesus' vision for his church. It is the vision of the Trinity to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of Christ, as Paul states in Colossians 1, verse 20. This is the Trinity's vision. It's not ours. For God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Paul tells us in Romans 5, verse 8. This is the Trinity's vision. It's not ours. It wasn't cooked up by sinners. But God has made you and I stewards of that vision. Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the world. Maybe you've read that before and you thought, that's what we pay the preacher to do, right? That's what we pay the evangelist to do. That's what we pay the general conference to do. No. This invitation is for all of us. Christ has invited us to be stewards of his vision for his church. All of Jesus' stewardship parables were about this issue. I don't care what some other pastor, you know, told you some stewardship parable just to get you to put more money in the plate. That's not the stewardship that Jesus is concerned about. He's talking about the stewardship of his vision for his people, the church. What are we doing with God's vision for his people and for the world? What are we doing with it? Jesus made it very plain that he is expecting fruit. Right? Fruit of the Spirit that will produce fruit for his kingdom. Fruits of transformed natures that will result in more fruit for the kingdom. People will not care what we know until they know that we care about them, about their soul, about their needs. Amen? Paul goes on to say in Galatians 5, after listing the evil fruits of the flesh, that the Holy Spirit will transform the sinful nature of those who belong to Christ in such a way that they will bear kingdom fruit. You must be born again through the waters of repentance and the transforming blood of Christ. Nicodemus had a dilemma. He was a very religious man who belonged to the right church. And Jesus was telling him that he was not qualified for the kingdom of God. What? Me? Not qualified? You got to be kidding. You know, the Bible talks about three kinds of people. The wise, the foolish, and the wicked. People sort themselves into one of these three categories based on how they respond to truth, light, reality. When light comes to wise people, they adjust their life to match the light. They repent of the way they have been doing life that is contrary to God's truth. Turn back to Proverbs with me, if you will. We'll go back to the beginning of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, 5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9, verses 8. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. And 10 verse 8, the wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Wise people accept correction thankfully. But notice what happens when you try to correct a fool. Proverbs 12:15. And the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. And 18, verse 2. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Verse 9. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the good sense of your words. So when light comes to the fool, it hurts their eyes, and they try to adjust the light. The fool changes truth, denies reality, excuses, minimizes, and shoots the messenger. They do not own their problem. These people in the church hijack God's vision and substitute their own agenda. Did you hear about the CEO of a dog food company? And sales were slipping. Company sales were going down the tube. So he fired his marketing team, hired a new one. Sales continued to slide. So he fired that marketing team and hired another marketing team, and sales continue to decline. And so he called a meeting of his staff, and he says, "What's going on here?" And some junior exec from the back of the room said, "Sir, the dogs don't like your food." People in the church hijack God's vision and substitute their own agenda. Get rid of the messenger. Criticize the church. Criticize the conference. Criticize the pastor. Criticize the brother in the church. Whatever you do, never own your own issues. At some point, we are all fools until we are faced with the light of truth. And then we have to decide how we are going to respond. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Everyone who does wicked things hates the light, lest their deeds be exposed. They do not want to change." Nicodemus was feeling pretty smug about his religious activities, and now Jesus was turning on the light. His religious activities were to make himself look good, not God. Fools hijack God's vision for his church. They're always a drag on the gospel of Jesus Christ. But because they are going through some kind of religious activity, they think that God will somehow recognize their efforts. "Lord, Lord, didn't we do mighty works in your name?" Nicodemus and his friends think that the kingdom of heaven works on the merit program. Jesus recognized these two groups in his parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. I know we're all familiar with that story. It gets used and abused in many different ways. Both groups were surprised by the coming of the bridegroom, but one group was ready and the other group was not. The group was not, "We're not qualified for the kingdom of heaven." Why? Because, as we have seen, the foolish virgins had not responded to the light of correction and reproof that would have led them to seek Christ and his righteousness. They were just along for the ride. The wise group have oil in their lamps. Their love for their master is evident by the fruits in their life. They agree with David's words there back there in Psalm 119. Let's take a look at that together this morning. Psalms 119, that's an important one, I think. Psalms 119, 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. As Revelation 14:4 says, for these are virgins who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Wise and foolish, sheep and goats, wheat and tares grow together until the harvest. But there can be no true unity because one group has a different agenda. They do not share God's vision for his kingdom. Oh yeah, I almost forgot. The wicked. There is a third group, right? The wicked people are those in the service of Satan who try to do everything they can to bring down other people, the church, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. From time to time, they crop up in churches. And Paul tells us in Titus 3, verse 10, he says, as for persons who stir up division, what's Christ's vision for his church? Unity. If you've got somebody who's stirring up division in the church, Paul says, after warning him once or twice, have nothing more to do with him. Put them out of the church where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Nicodemus was willing to listen to what Jesus had to say and made the decision to turn his life over to him who is the light of the world. The rest of the Pharisees had Jesus crucified rather than face the light. The wise are transformed into children of light, but sooner or later, fools join the devil and become God's enemies. So we have to ask ourselves, which group am I in? Which group am I in? Wise, the fools, the wicked. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Maybe there's some repenting that needs to go on this morning. And if that is the case, I would invite you to just come forward this morning. If you decide that you need to rededicate your life, that you may not be found among the fools or the wicked, it's your desire to be counted amongst the wise, I would invite you to just stand and come forward this morning as we pray together. Dear Jesus, we have read your words this morning. We have read them together. That you have sent John the Baptist before you with the invitation to repent. You have come with the invitation to be part of your kingdom, children of light. You invited us to be stewards of your vision for the church. That vision that would unify all things in Christ Jesus, that would reconcile us to our God and to each other, and to share that vision with the world. Father, we come seeking baptism of your Holy Spirit, that we might truly be able to take that vision to a world that is dying before our eyes while we comfortably wait for Jesus to take us home. Give us that vision, give us that power, and give us souls for your kingdom, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Was the bookmobile announcement made before I came in? ABC Bookmobile is going to be here Tuesday, November 1st. You might want to write that on something from 5 to 7. Bookmobile here, November 1st, 5 to 7. I will meet you here. Pre-orders? That's a good question. West Jordan. Yeah, West Jordan is on the map. I don't know. There is a bulletin out there on the bulletin board or a sign there. You might want to take a look at that. And there are a few flyers out there with new books that are available. Have a great rest of the Sabbath. I invite you to join us in potluck. God bless.